Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, more terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. It's Lance and Dell. Two more hours to go. You guys are in the driver's seat as well. It's a holiday show. John likes to say that. Checks out on half of them, but in a good way. John is living his best life right now on vacation, and Dell and I will have you for the week. I'll be at Mobile, Alabama. I'm flying out today. Going to be in Mobile for 3 days, and we'll be back for Friday's show in person.
I can't wait for all the people you talk to lie and say they knew Nathaniel Hackett would be a disaster.
I hadn't even thought about bringing him up, but maybe I should. Where did he get the OC job? Did he get one?
The Jets.
Yeah. Yeah. Supposed to be a good OC. I just know he was overwhelmed as a head coach.
He was a good OC when Aaron Rodgers was his quarterback.
That's true.
I mean, the years before Aaron Rodgers, his claim
and
to
Josh
fame.
Josh McDaniel is a good OC with Tom Brady.
His claim to fame was, well, he got Blake Bortles to an AFC title game. No, he didn't. That defense did. But someone tweeted out his numbers before and after being with Brady. And the before, they're pretty pedestrian. So I don't know what that move means other than trying to get an inside track to getting Aaron Rodgers on the Jets. But as far as an OC, team with the Hall of Famer, pretty good. Other than that, he's meh.
Yeah. Yesterday, over the weekend, things have really heated up with the rumor mill saying D'Amico Ryans, the Texans have locked in on D'Amico Ryans. Question is D'Amico Ryans locking in on the Texans? And I know one former Houstonian, Charles Barkley, there's absolutely no question who he's in favor of.
The NFC Championship.
I am terrified of both of these games.
Right?
Because I'm scared. Like, first of all, you know I'm an Eagles fan.
Right. So 49ers, Eagles,
yes,
who wins this
one? I'm going with my Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed.
Yes. Jalen Hurts.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm a big Eagles fan, but, man, the 49ers scare me. My man Brock Purdy, he's balling. That defense.
Yeah.
Hey, feel free to hire DeMarco Ryans, guys.
Ooh.
I mean, Marco, don't be afraid to hire black coaches. We're not going to do anything illegal or wrong. Feel free to hire black coach, guys.
Who's he talking? What
DeMarco?
What shows is he on?
It's called Guarantee.
Oh.
Where Charles makes guarantees. He actually picked both the games right. But DeMarco, he wants to see DeMarco Ryans.
I don't know who that is. But the Texans
don't, special teams coach for the Bengals.
The Texans don't have any fear of hiring black coaches. I mean, they don't keep them very long.
No,
they don't
hire
them. Yeah. So it'll be the third in a row. I mean, speaking of historic, has a franchise.
Fourth. Yeah.
Who was the interim? I can't think. Who was the interim?
Wasn't it Cornell?
Yeah, it was Cornell. But official hires.
This is all.
Isn't that
this
historic?
This is all we do, is hire black coaches and black managers.
Historic. This, the city of Houston, I mean.
The last, not U of H, but the last six hires have been black head coaches.
In the city.
Mm-hmm. And black GMs.
The Texans are like, you're not gonna put that.
Sorry, Atlanta, Chocolate City. You don't get it anymore.
The Texans are like, you're not going to put that Bob McNair after Obama one thing on us forever. You're not going to do that to us
they
forever.
They are the most diverse hiring team in, I think, pro football history. Black GM, black director, pro personnel, scouting, Brian. I can't remember Brian's last name. Black GM, head coaches,
media relations directors, two consecutive to start off. Vice president, they've got all these different lists going on. That's why it's kind of unfair, some of the stuff that they get. But regardless, I just want the best coach, whoever the best coach is. I just happen to be excited about D'Amico Ryans. I love that he's got a good defense. I love that he sees what it's supposed to look like. When you look at San Francisco's players, like you look at their defensive front with Fred Warner and Eric Armstead and Javon Kinlaw, Nick Bosa, that is a freaky, freaky defensive unit. They look way different than everyone else. That is an example of getting high-end traits. Now, D'Amico is not the GM, but what I'm saying is he's been there. He's seen it. Like, through osmosis, he understands this is what traits look like, and I think that would be good. Now, if he comes, here's the interesting thing that we haven't even really talked about much, Dell. Supposedly, Adam Peters is someone who people around the league think that the assistant GM, Adam Peters, is a guy who D'Amico would want to bring in. And we've already heard, I don't know if you've heard him say this, but Nick Caserio had mentioned about he wants to do what's best for the team, if that means stepping aside. He mentioned that.
Saying it and doing it are two different
things. Well, he has no choice if the owner gets rid of him.
Well, sure, if Cal says you got to go, but he wouldn't willingly step aside. What's best for the team.
No,
Cal would have to tell him to get out.
No, you got to get your paycheck.
Yeah.
You got to make him get rid of
so,
you.
So, look,
Mutual part into the ways, maybe. You get a payoff, and then you go work somewhere. So go back to the Patriots.
Sure.
Probably.
So the whole "I'm doing what's best for the team." You're not that altruistic.
He was basically saying that because he knows there's a chance that a head coach is going to come in and want to make his own. And D'Amico may want to bring in Adam Peters. And I got news for you. You know, Nick, I don't think that Nick is had enough time. Yeah, I don't think he's had enough time to show what he can do. But at the same time, if D'Amico Ryans wants to bring in somebody from the 49ers who's done it the 49er way, here's the thing. Patriots way, that's not cool anymore. That hasn't been cool for a few years now. The Niners way is the cool way. So I would maybe rather have somebody doing it the Niners way than the Patriots way.
You think about what that coaching tree looks like right now. Robert Saleh, I mean, that's a nice, good roster. If not being short-circuited by a quarterback, that team is a playoff team. Mike McDaniel in his first year kind of changed the perception of the quarterback there until the quarterback got injured. So you do have some things you can point to and go, okay, those guys look like they understand it.
Not to mention, you got a roster that's a good roster over there. I mean, it's long arm guys who are big, strong, lean mass guys. Like, San Francisco is what you want to build a roster to look like.
Yeah, and he built it so quarterback proof that you can insert anyone but concussion Josh Johnson or no arm Brock Purdy and win a lot of games. Like, he survived all that quarterback injury bad luck.
It's incredible.
Until the final game, and you look at Kyle Shanahan and what he's become. That's the question I guess we can get to now. I asked you about it before the show started.
Yeah, take it up.
Kyle Shanahan, we know that if injuries aren't destroying his roster in season, he's going to get you to the NFC title game. He's going or a Super Bowl. He's going to win double digit games. The only thing that has gotten away of that is injuries. So I asked you before, I mean, I guess maybe you include his quarterback injury bad luck coming with him because he can't avoid it. But if I said, if you gave up two first rounders, in essence, what you got back for Deshaun, but you're getting Adam Peters because maybe John Lynch isn't coming, but you get the GM to come with you and you get Kyle Shanahan, would you do it as opposed to having so many shots to get yourself a franchise quarterback when you're going to hire a coach who can apparently install an offense where the quarterback doesn't really matter that much?
Well, everyone's going to say no when it's draft picks. But if I tell you the player, let's say if you said, no one wanted to trade the 12th pick for Sean Payton. And apparently the Saints want a lot more than the 12th pick and the Texans don't want to bite, which is good. If you say the 12th pick, would you give up the 12th pick for Kyle Shanahan? There's going to be people saying, no, no, no. I'm just going to use Mel Kiper's mock draft. I'm going to give you six players, and you tell me which one of these hurts your feelings the worst. Let's say Miles Murphy, defensive end.
From Clemson.
Kalijah Kancey, a 280-pound defensive tackle from Pitt. Now, he is like a little...
Can we compare him to Aaron Donald?
Well, no, we can compare him to Ed Oliver.
Okay.
So, would you trade Ed Oliver for Kyle Shanahan?
Yes.
Paris Johnson, left tackle, Ohio State.
Yes.
By the way, I put a second-round grade on him. Lucas Van Ness, defensive end from Iowa. Yes. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Absolutely. Yes. I would trade that. Devon Weatherspoon, cornerback Illinois, who's going to run a 4-5.
You're not going to name one.
Can't come up with a guy. What I'm telling you is people fall in love with 12. They fall in love with first round pick. I'm looking at all these names. None of these guys would I not deal for Kyle Shanahan. I would give them up on a heartbeat for Sean Payton. Yeah, absolutely. The 12th pick in theory sounds great because it's a first round pick that's number 12. When you actually find names that you're going to put names to it, none of these guys have the value of a Kyle Shanahan. And it's actually not even close. Like, it's not even, there's not one guy I mentioned. I've looked at all of them, written them all of them up. The difference that Kyle Shanahan could make with a quarterback at number 2 versus these number 12 picks, it's not even close. The difference Sean Payton could make with one of these quarterbacks. So if you're just saying, you know, and it's not that Kyle Shanahan's, you just threw that out there just as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Just a hypothetical.
Because of what he has done.
Because we always hear about draft picks and no one wants to give away draft picks. But when I turn them into names and they're no longer picks and they actually have a name to them,
it's not even a hard choice.
They lose a lot of their luster. The first round picks lose a lot of luster when I'm telling you it's Lucas Van Ness from Iowa. For example,
I think it's an easy choice, and I just brought him up because we've had the conversations about quarterback or coach with the Brady and Belichick thing going back and forth. We know that Brady has won that one going away since they've separated. But when you use a guy at the top of his game and his ability to not only just put a system together, but hire great coaches. So not only are you getting him as a head coach, the likelihood of him hiring great coordinators that go on to do things and his ability to find the next guy in line means no matter who gets hired, he's going to find guys to replace them.
John's really afraid of not hiring an offensive guy because he's worried that if you get a good offensive guy who is a offensive coordinator that somebody will steal him away. Well, listen, if that happens, then you've had a lot of success. You can't worry about who's going to hire you away. You're not going to get lifers. If you do a good job, there's going to, you know, and that's why he wants an offensive coach because you can't hire an offensive, you know, an Andy Reid away. I don't know who that guy is. I don't see that guy.
Who's available right now?
Honestly, you are way out of the range of worrying about stuff like that. You're trying to worry about getting Houston back on your side. You got to worry about getting Texans fans back on your side because they're bored with you. Your product sucks. People don't like you. And you need them to, and D'Amico Ryans and honestly, either Stroud or Young would go a long way to getting people excited. You would have a full stadium, game one. There'd be more hope than there's been since Deshaun Watson, you know, was a rookie coming in the second half against Jacksonville after Tom Savage started.
Well, because Tom Savage was the clear and obvious choice until that one half of football changed Bill O'Brien's mind.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, how could you not have been locked in on Tom Savage? All right, Eric wants to talk about Joe Kelly, and Joe Kelly had some sound. We'll get to that. I mean, what a rat. What a rat bastard that guy is.
Whoa.
713-780-3776. I'm not saying something that's not true. 713, you can't get in trouble if you say things that are true. That's what the internet told me.
Oh, the internet told you that as long as you say things that are true, that's okay, and they'll leave you alone?
I mean, I'm assuming.
Well, you haven't met the internet.
Have you ever heard of the truth will set you free?
Not when the internet was created.
No, that's true. QC Kinetics will set you free. You got injuries. You've got what my wife went through, 5 different treatments. She had her last treatment the other day. And this is something that you need to be looking into. When it comes to chronic pain, when it comes to your mobility, when it comes to issues that are causing you to have pain, you know, on a regular basis, you might want to end up, you know, looking at instead of just, oh, let's see, I better get shots and surgery and get pain medicine and I'll have the downtime from the surgery. That's the old way. The new way, the right way, is biological therapies. They're all natural. They take the body's healing power, they improve them, and then they give you an opportunity to regenerate and restore damaged tissue. And when the damaged tissue is restored, that's when that chronic pain begins to diminish and subside. And that happens very, very quickly. A lot of times you're going to see a result after one time, and then after 2 times, it's going to be completely different for you. And that can be the difference in getting your mobility and your in reducing pain in your life. It's that important for knee, hip, back, shoulder, wherever you're having chronic pain. regenerating, restoring damaged tissue is the way to go. And QC Kinetics is the best at that. 713-913-5285-3. Locations in Houston. Set up your free consultation right now at 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Witt, and GMC.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
John's out of town. Dell's going to be with me the whole week. So you got a problem with that? Take it up with Dell.
It's not my fault. Take it up with John.
Yeah. Take it up with RJ. You got a problem with that?
RJ, are you
take it up with John.
Are you wearing all that Lakers stuff just to cleanse what happened on Saturday night?
No, it was raining when I woke up today, so I just decided to bundle.
And when I say all that Lakers stuff, I'm not talking about just wearing a Laker jacket. He's wearing one of those jackets that notes all their championships.
Yeah, no,
like
Letterman's jacket
that notes all, like Joey Bosa's jacket.
And he's got
In Laker
a beanie. It's a little cooler outside today. So tell people what happened with the Lakers and LeBron when he collapsed to the ground. I thought he had AFib. I was worried.
No, it wasn't DeMar. By the way, DeMar Hamlin put out a video saying, look at me. I'm a real person. I'm still alive.
I know.
There's a video out there.
It's so scary that conspiracy theorists decided that DeMar Hamlin had died.
Yeah, the best part was
he had to finally go, look, here I am, guys, not dead.
The best part was Cole Beasley, known conspiracy theorist, going, see, he's alive and well. Look at him.
I know, that's...
Yeah, but what happened over the weekend, the Lakers in a really good battle against Boston. Boston, the best team in the East. The Lakers still trying to find their way into the play-in. Game goes down to the wire. Patrick Beverley has a big putback dunk to give the Lakers the lead. LeBron has a chance to win it with less than a second to go. He is fouled. It is not called. He's apoplectic. And, I mean,
it was a foul.
It's a foul. It's a foul. Whether you're down with his reaction or not, it was a foul. Yeah. He should have been at the line for two free throws.
Yeah. Now, this isn't the first game where somebody doesn't call a foul late in the game, but it was a foul. Hit him on his forearm.
Yes.
His reaction, though, Jordan would never collapse to the ground and stay there for what seemed like forever. Well, first of all, he freaked out, which I would understand. Yeah. Like, it was very much a Manu Ginobili freak out when he would get fouled, and then he collapsed to the ground, and I thought, he's got AFib. You guys have to, like, because I've had AFib, and I just thought, uh-oh, somebody better get in there. Not like a DeMar Hamlin thing, but you got to get in there and take care of it, because something bad has happened. He's just laying on the ground because he didn't get a call in a game where they're barely even going to get to a play-in situation.
Yeah, and the...
Then he went on the bench and put... But that's not even a real story here.
Yeah, I mean, I was just taking some calls, a little busy. But we'll get to the sound in a bit. You have the Lakers rightfully furious.
Yeah, it was a foul.
The referees union tweets out how gut-wrenching that – this is what they tweet. Like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and that is gut-wrenching for us. This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees we can be. First off, I say stop lying. No one is losing sleep because the Lakers lost a game to the Celtics in January. The referees involved aren't losing sleep. The guy who wrote the tweet isn't losing sleep. The referees union as a whole is not losing sleep over this. I don't know why you have to write that. I understand it's high profile. It's a Saturday night game on ESPN or ABC, whatever it was. And the Lakers and the Celtics and LeBron is involved. But don't lie to me. You're not losing sleep over this game.
No.
Stop. You don't even care. In fact, some of them probably think it's a little funny.
Yeah, this guy's gotten all the calls for years.
Yeah, we've been giving that guy call for years. You know, a guy who doesn't get a lot of calls, and rightfully so. I mean, he shouldn't be getting calls, but he made a point to let the referees know that they missed this call, and this is Mike Breen talking about it. RJ's dealing with
And as the teams went to the benches and before overtime started, Patrick Beverley comes out on the floor to Eric Lewis with a camera. I mean, just ridiculous. And Eric Lewis rightfully tees him up.
You said they thought he was fouled. He was fouled. And would you say missing that? No, it's not as...
Well, what Jeff Van Gundy was going to finish because it got cut off. But he asked, well, he was about to ask, do you think it's as ridiculous of a call that the missed call was as, you know, bringing out the camera? Which one is
Pat
more ridiculous?
Beverly brought a camera that had the video on it. Or no, probably had a still shot of him being hit on the arm to the official. And the official's like, I have to tell you, you can't do this.
Look, I know that there's a certain standard for getting thrown out of a game. I feel like bringing a prop gets you thrown out of
a
basketball game.
Bringing a prop 100% is going to get you thrown.
He didn't get thrown
out.
To
show up the official.
Yeah, he showed up the official with the prop.
It's going to get you teched at least. I don't think there's a rule that says they can throw you out
with
for bringing
prop?
A prop out. I feel like you should get thrown out.
I think if the call wasn't so egregious, they might have thrown him out of the game. Like, if they weren't aware of how bad they missed that call, even though the referee who gave Patrick Beverly the tech wasn't the guy making the call, it was another referee closer who'd missed it or just ignored it. But I think if they thought they got the call right and he does that, they throw him out of the game. But you're like, you know what? He's kind of got a point. But he can't show us up like that, so he's getting the tech.
That's exactly how it went down. Let's get Eric in here. What's up, Eric? How we doing?
Hey, guys. Great sports show once again.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Sleepy Joe Kelly and his trying to confront the Astros in 2020. Who do you got? I think I have Correa over Joe Kelly in the lobby.
Yeah, I do too.
Bill, are you from Kenya?
No. Why do you ask?
Oh, my friend's from Kenya. He's Kenyan. He's from Nairobi. He just wanted to say hi.
You have a friend from Kenya, and he wants to say hi to me?
Yeah, he's right here.
What's his name?
Habari.
What's his name?
Habari.
Apparently he's shy. You can't get him on the phone.
I think he's saying hi in Nairobi or something.
No, he's calling the guy's name, I think, and he won't come to the phone.
He won't come to the phone, Eric?
No. Apparently not.
Oh, Habari.
See, he's saying Habari. He wants whoever Habari is to come to the phone.
Hang up.
No, let's keep going. Get the guy on the phone.
Go ahead. Yeah,
Eric,
get him on the phone.
Eric, get the guy on the phone. Let's talk to your buddy from Kenya. I'm not from Kenya. My dad's from Nigeria. I'm actually from Florida, at least born there. Whatever, Eric, you want us to put you on hold and whenever my buddy comes?
Yeah, do you want to do that?
You want to do that, Eric?
Yeah, okay.
Is that my buddy?
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like Eric to me.
Habari, is that you?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm from Kenya.
You're from Kenya, from Nairobi is what
it's
we heard?
Real.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been in the country?
Ooh, it's been close to 20 years.
20 years, and how do you know Eric?
He doesn't.
Oh, he's my friend.
Oh,
we party together.
Oh, he's
you don't party
you
together,
don't party.
Eric.
Where are you, Eric, at work? If you
No, we're not at work.
Where
we
are you?
We had a late Sunday night. We're at the Waffle House.
Okay.
I'm trying to get him to church.
Trying to get him to church.
Convert him, man. I'll bring him to church, man. I don't know.
You should hear some.
We're at the Waffle House.
You should hear some of the things he says. Do you? Hey, Habari, do you know about Eric's, let's say, interest in nude women?
Oh, he went outside to smoke a cigarette.
Okay. Look at that.
Habari went out. Okay. Yeah, we're done.
Okay,
with
we're
you.
Done. We're done with you.
Habari went out.
You never know. You got to milk these things.
Never know. I had no idea Habari was real. Yeah. And I had Dell, are you Kenyan? Like, you know. Do you know Habari?
No, I don't. No. Like, Eric, I don't know if you know this. Kenya isn't a small town.
Yeah.
It's a country. So even if I was Kenyan, the chances of me knowing a guy from Kenya, low.
It was on brand for Eric. Here's what Joe Kelly said that Eric was referring to. Here's Joe Kelly on, I don't know. Where did he do this, RJ? Where did he say this?
So this was AM 570 in LA.
Okay. Here's noted tough guy, Joe Kelly.
You know, there's a part about where, you know, if the Astros would have won and we would have played in the World Series.
Yeah.
MLB was kind of panicking and trying to figure out what to do.
Were you really in the book?
Astros staying in the same hotel.
Yeah, you wrote in the book that you would have waited for the Astros to come through the lobby of the bubble hotel. Would you really have done that?
100%. I would have. My wife knows that. She could vouch for me. You know, we had twins at the time, and she said, okay, you could do what you want to do. And, you know, there's a part where, you know, MLB tried to go behind my back while I was practicing, you know, at the field, you know, try to have a conversation with my wife saying, hey, if the Astros win, you need to tell your husband pretty much to simmer down and not do anything. And, you know, she basically flat out laughs at him and say, good luck. You know, I can't even do that. So yeah. There's just these little ticky-tacky parts behind the scenes stuff that, you know, people don't know about. I think, you know, that they're going to end up loving.
Yeah, this no.
That's a poor...
I mean, because he was going to bust the Astros' ass. If his wife couldn't stop him, don't.
No, of course. But this is the thing about this interview and the guy, you know, in the bag for Joe Kelly. The next question, obviously, is, okay, what would you have done if you saw them? Because saying you would have waited in the lobby for him means twins. Nothing.
He had twins, though, so it was fine. I don't know why he threw that in. I had twins, so the wife said you can do whatever you want.
You wouldn't have done anything.
Not only would you not have done anything... You would have been yelling from the steps or like from the elevator. Hold it. Just hold it open until I see him. Yeah. Sorry, bitch ass. Close it. That's what he would have done. Joe Kelly. Anybody who knows me knows. My wife will tell you. I don't play that.
Joe Kelly noted.
And if the Astros came and Major League Baseball is trying to keep me from fighting them, the Astros. Well, you know what? Here's who I would match him up against. I think Altuve's too strong for him.
He's 6'1", maybe 185. How big is Joe Kelly?
Maybe that. Correa would have crushed him.
Yeah.
Lance McCullers would have crushed him. Alex Bregman would have, Lance McCullers was recovering from injury, but Alex Bregman, I think, is too scrappy for him. That would have probably been a decent fight.
I feel like Alex Bregman's kicking his ass.
I think so.
I feel like it.
Altuve's too strong. Like, he's just too strong. I think he would get Joe Kelly on the ground and ground and pound. I'm trying to go back to the 20 Astros. Who are you fight? Who are you beating? Who are you beating, Joe? And Joe, we're not gonna ask your wife, hey, Mrs. Kelly, was Joe gonna fight the Astros? Yes, he was gonna fight all of them.
He's listed at 6'1", 174. Who was he beating up on the Astros?
He's not even beating up Bryce Young.
No, he's not.
Bryce Young is going to beat him. Bryce Young weighs more than you. And Bryce Young is the tiniest quarterback in the history of football. And he's bigger than Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly, stop. You're the Devontae Smith of pitchers.
Why is Devontae Smith catching
him? He's good. He's just tiny. He's skinny.
Okay.
Devontae Smith weighs 175. Well,
and apparently both liars.
Read the book.
Devontae.
Apparently, there's a lot of great stuff people are going to love.
I'm sure Joe Kelly is a great wordsman, and I'm sure the book will be great. Devontae Smith and Joe Kelly, noted liars. Devontae Smith out there taking credit for not catching a football, and Joe Kelly,
Devontae Smith's not alone. No, that's called gamesmanship.
Lying.
He didn't catch it, but
liar.
He's just like, hurry up.
We call that lying.
Remember that commercial that used to be about sportsmanship?
Of course I do.
Where the basketball player, like, you got the call wrong. It's actually their ball. Yeah. And the coach doesn't lose his mind.
Yeah, the coach like, okay, out of bounds. Okay, we'll move on. Yeah, because that's a realistic depiction of how a coach reacts.
I got to tell you something during the break. I can't. Put one of my kids said something really ugly yesterday
about
a football game. He's not even a Bengals fan. He was so mad at Joseph Asai. You can imagine which kid it was. The most out of pocket kid I have. All right, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Lazy J, we see you. You guys jump in here. Give us your thoughts on what went down yesterday. And I was at the Cougar. I do need to mention the Cougar game. When we come back as well, because Cougs, they led
that
like exactly
rough.
2 minutes of that game. That was unbelievable. Really rough first half. When you're making a half court shot at the buzzer and you're 8 of 12 going in from 3-point range, that is tough to beat a team.
I got a story
like
about the Cougars for you, but I can't tell it on the air.
All right.
So since you've got one, I've got one.
Well, I was at the game with John Daspit, and John Daspit is. Lawyer who backs the Houston Cougars NIL, the basketball. Talk to Dana a little bit. I think John's going to get even more involved with the football side. And he's the guy that helped us get Roger Clemens on during the playoffs, made a donation to Roger's foundation. And John's been just super active. He's fantastic. He's active all over. I know he's good friends with Selvin Young, and they do a lot of things in the community together. Saw Selvin and didn't get to see VY, but they were all together after the game. And went to that, like I said, that Cougar game with him. John Daspit, we were talking about some of the cases. He's involved with the Astroworld case, with the Travis Scott stuff. It takes a long time. He goes through the process, and he said, you know, they want you to hurry through everything so they can get the lowest settlement possible. He said, when I'm fighting for people who have been injured through no fault of their own, through someone else's negligence, I'm going to go out there and do the best that I can to make sure that they get that money that is coming to them for their injury, for their hospital bills, for the time missed at work, for the physical therapy, everything that goes into it. And you want somebody like that fighting on your side. He's He was one of the top. He was one of the top lawyers over at Fulbright when he was there. He's got top lawyers from around the city of Houston and state of Texas, and they got 10 different offices in the state of Texas with 70 lawyers. They are going to passionately pursue justice for you. Make sure that you have this number ready. 713-322-HURT. If you've ever been injured and you need help with a lawyer, this is the best. 713-322-HURT or go to DaspitLaw.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So I was at the, as I mentioned, I was at the Cougar basketball game. Let's get Kelvin Sampson ready. I was at the Cougar basketball game on Saturday, and it was, man, Cincinnati was bombing out in the first. They couldn't miss. They could not miss, and they were just killing it. And Houston went in with they'd made a little comeback in the first half, and then Cincinnati expanded again. Then in the second half, Cincinnati expanded again into double digits. Houston kept closing. Jairus Walker really did a terrific job of taking over at different stages of that game. He is just such a talented player. But Houston got back in, because they really tightened up defensively. Cincinnati, as the game got a little closer, they got a little tighter, and Houston eventually squeezed the life out of them. And they're now 20-2. Here's Kelvin Sampson talking about a team who is 20-2 right now, even if that one was a real struggle.
No, we're 20-2. You know, it says a lot about a person when they pick their narrative. You know, some people are cynical in nature. So they're always going to look for something wrong, right? And some people think that's what they should do. But I have a great admiration for our players and what they go through, because I've been with this team since June. Now, next June, God willing, I'll start with another team. But this team has worked really hard. And it's not easy. It's not easy to be 20-2 because of how good these other teams are. We respect them a lot.
He went on to talk about a win. So that was a win on Saturday, but it was a tough one. You'd probably think Kelvin Sampson would be pissed off. They didn't play well. They were getting beat on the boards, this, that, or the other. Not necessarily the case.
There's a lot of wins. A month from now, nobody's going to be talking about this game or how it was won. It's just another win in the column. What is our record? 20. Our record is 20-2. You know, 20-2. But I think there's a lot of value we can gain from this game. But these teams are coming in here ready to play, and they're good teams. You know, there's such a ignorant narrative going around about our conference and how it's not that good. That is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard. That tells you how most people don't know what they don't know. This is a really good conference.
I was hoping to say hi to Coach Sampson, but I was like, 3 double vodka tonics.
Yeah, you're way too drunk.
And Coach Sampson obviously was a little feisty.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I didn't see him. Mm-hmm. It was better seeing Coach Holgorsen and saying hi to Dana than
yeah, Dana's relaxed.
He was having a time. Yeah, he and his son. I talked to he and his son, and it was probably better than seeing Coach Sampson, because somebody must have asked him, I mean, you're 20-2, but do you feel like right now you guys are in some trouble? That really says, that narrative says a lot about the person who asked it. I was like, ooh, man, I'm glad. I was in a good mood, though. Like, I'm sure Coach Sampson would have been happy to see me, because I was in a very happy.
Yeah, you know what?
In a happy, good mood.
You know what people love? Sober people love hanging out with drunks.
Oh, do you know what? As a matter of fact, my daughter, I recorded her yesterday. She said, I got home. I'd had a couple of drinks. I Ubered home, and I think my wife had been talking so she could, my daughter could hear. I wasn't on speakerphone. My daughter didn't even see me, but my wife must have been talking to a friend of her. Oh, Lance is drunk, blah, 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 blah. And Maddie, my Puritan daughter, heard, Because the next morning she came in and she goes, she just looked at me. She goes, I'm so unimpressed with you. You need to be more mature.
I'm unimpressed with you, yeah, is what she said?
She said, you need to be more mature. Grown-ups should not be drinking until they're drunk. Just very unimpressed with you. I got dressed down by my Puritan daughter. I got in trouble. You know, she got after my wife because Joseph Asai had a 15-yard late hit penalty, and he went to Texas. So apparently it was my wife's fault that Joe Burrow and Cincinnati didn't go to the Super Bowl.
I agree with that.
My wife said, get out of my face.
It's not my fault.
She told her, what are you stepping to me for whenever Joseph Asai, I don't even care. I don't even care about this game. Well, then don't have your Longhorns make critical penalties.
I don't get that your wife is a Puritan, or certainly you're not.
No, that's not my
Where do you think this came from, Grandma?
No, Nicole raised her, you know, really Catholic. Here's the saints. Like, she brought her up that way. Now she's the living foil. Now she's the foil to Nicole, who, Nicole's no saint. She uses some rough language. Mm-hmm. Madi just, and she homeschools her. And so they get into it all the time. They clash all the time.
Nicole reaping
and if
what
Nicole
she
uses,
sows.
If she uses a little bad word, Madi will look over me and go, like, look at me like, can you believe I have to deal with this language? But my daughter, yeah, I got to listen to it. I recorded her without her knowing because she was getting after me this is no way for her father to behave. And I apparently broke some picture frame accidentally from the hall.
If I asked her, are mommy and daddy good role models, what do you think she would say?
RJ, call my house.
I didn't think we were going to do this, but I'm all in. Let's find out what Madi thinks of her parents as role models.
Hold on a second. When we come back, I'll see what she says here. My wife will say, we've got homeschool to do.
No, this is more important.
This is way more important than homeschool. I want to see what her beef is, because everyone knows what a little Puritan. John did News of the Weird with her, and they changed it to appropriate or inappropriate. Uh-huh. She sat right here, and almost everything was inappropriate.
Of course. Almost it's News of the Weird. Do you have a strong opinion of who she thinks is a better role model?
She's going to say her mom, but I think she'll say that because she puts a cape on for her mom. She knows it's me.
Oh, okay.
She won't say it publicly, but she knows I'm the better role model. Yeah. That's why she was so disappointed. She was the most disappointed. When her mom was drunk after the Astros won a World Series, and Madi claimed that she was sitting in the street.
Sitting in the street?
She wasn't. She was on a sidewalk.
Was she peeing in the street, too?
No, she was just on the sidewalk. Like, Madi, sometime you celebrate after World Series. To her, it's the most devastating thing that's ever happened. Trust me, you're glad you're not Mr. Granato's daughter.
Oh, well.
You'd be seeing this every other night.
Mr. Granato's daughter took...
Mr. Granato's daughter goes hard in the paint.
Yeah, she would call Frankie unimpressive, too.
Yeah, Mr. Granato's daughter goes hard in the paint. All right, I'll see if I can get my daughter on to tell you exactly what I did that was so bad. 8:45 here on the bench. Lazy J, I got you coming up as well. And, hey, guys, by the way, just be careful. If you see Joe Kelly, make sure you tell him that just say, hey, I'm not an Astros fan, whatever. I don't want any smoke with you, Joe Kelly. I heard you're super tough. Now, I will admit that when you are someone who has had a little too much to drink, sometimes it's best that you just hide out and hang out on your patio. You just do it that way. Or maybe if I had just watched Cougar Game from my patio, I would have just maybe a little slower roll and but had no problems, because my patio is a great place to watch a game. It's a great place to have a lunch, a dinner. You can grill out there. You can do, and I'm having a kitchen built into it, so I can't wait to get my flat top, make those smashed hamburgers and cheese steaks out there, eggs and bacon in the morning. Going to be making that one. Oh, I'm excited. Now, some of you may say, oh, I've got a cool outdoor patio. What I'm looking for is a swimming pool. They're doing swimming pools, too. They're doing the very best job on outdoor living spaces and swimming pools and outdoor kitchens that you're going to find. They use the best materials. Go look at their before and afters. You'll be blown away. Go look at the before and afters, and you can see it at TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato
and Lance Zierlein.
You know, did you take you? So you took this from Camp Lo, I guess, right? The sample, but it actually comes from another song. I looked up the sample; it actually comes from something like in the late 70s. But this is like my favorite. I think this is one of my favorite samples of a hip hop song of all time. It just has that. I don't know. It just has a great vibe to it. 8:49. My daughter's gonna call and bitch me out. My wife said that's inappropriate. It's not inappropriate. She told me, I was listening to what I recorded her. She told me kids and pets are more responsible than grown-ups.
That's what your daughter said?
Yeah. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, really, Dad? Really? Yesterday? And I looked over and I saw two packages of cookies, empty cookie wrappers by my on my nightstand. I'm like, I didn't even remember.
You were just drunk eating cookies?
Yeah. I was just drunk eating Bevitas or something like that. I don't know. It was something delicious. Some kind of blueberry. I would imagine they're biscuits. Like,
yeah,
I would imagine you call them biscuits if you're in England.
Yeah, they're called maybe biscuits. Biscuit. Definitely.
So my daughter will call here in a second. We'll get her on. Tamiko Ryans looks like he is headed for a head coaching offer, at least from the Houston Texans. From what I hear, they are all in. The ownership is all in on Tamiko Ryans. Let's hope Tamiko Ryans is all in for the Texans, because so many Texans fans have their hopes so high right now at Tamiko Ryans, that if it doesn't happen, there's not going to be anyone that makes the city happy. Jonathan Gannon yesterday, after the game, the defense coordinator for Philadelphia, said, I'm going to be back next year. Good, bad, and different. I'm going to be back next year. I'm not going anywhere. For him to make a definitive statement like that at that time instead of just keeping it open-ended kind of tells me he's decided he doesn't want any of these jobs. I don't think... You have Sean Payton saying it's 70% chance that he goes back to the studio. Are these just – John and I looked at these jobs, and when you look at them, they're not super enticing. You've got Bidwell in Arizona, who are known as being a little bit of a cheap organization behind the scenes, I guess. You have Kyler Murray, who you're stuck with him, and he just had an ACL tear. So who knows what's going to happen with that. And you got a contract that's not great. And the word out of Arizona was that Kyler was uncoachable once he got his contract. I actually thought the pressure from the public, like the fact that they kind of outed him for not being a film study guy, I thought it actually might help. And apparently, from what I understand, he completely was uncoachable. Like, he felt like he was untouchable once he got his contract. I don't think that's a very enticing job. You look at Denver. You still have to worry about Russell Wilson, that huge contract, and you gave away draft picks. So the rebuild on that one may take a long time. So Carolina's already done. Frank Reich was hired over Steve Wilks. We'll get into that in a second. You got the Indianapolis Colts. You got a GM there who you wonder if Ballard will make it past next year if they don't get to the playoffs.
You have a temperamental owner.
A temperamental owner who has been really hands-on this year. But you do have some... There's some good things about that team, too. Like, you've got some... Shaq Leonard will be back. You got an offensive line, although they didn't pass protect. But you don't have a quarterback right now. And then you look at the Texans. A lot of draft picks. Dysfunctional. I feel like it's been dysfunctional ownership or just incompetent ownership. If you look at all the jobs, to me, the two best for me would be Colts and Texans. One team drafts second. One team drafts fourth. Colts have some pieces in place. The Texans don't have a lot of pieces in place, but they got good draft capital over the next 2 or 3 years. The owner is going to stay out of your business. In Indianapolis, that's not necessarily the case. So I just wonder if a lot of these coaches just said, you know what, I'm bailing. I don't want to deal with this.
And particularly if you're a first-timer, you're going to look for a great spot. And really, even if you're Sean Payton, there's no rush for you to go anyplace. And Jonathan Gannon's in a really good spot, too. He's the defensive. He has the best roster in football. I mean, he's only the DC, but he's got a great defensive roster. Why not come back?
Wait for a
better job. Because you mentioned here in Indianapolis, and you've already ran through that the other jobs, particularly Arizona and Denver, is tied to a quarterback who is kind of uncoachable
and making a lot of money.
Both. Like I heard people talk about, if you wanted to go to Denver, particularly if you're established like Sean Payton, you're asking for 10 years, 200, because you want to tell them, hey, I'll make Russ work for as long as I need to until it's viable for you to get out from under that contract, and then we're starting over again.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be blamed for what happens.
My contract cannot be tied to this quarterback unless you
want to
pay me.
I want a separate version. I want to have the during Russ and then the post-Russ years because we're going to have to start over.
And maybe
and
same I can't with Kyler.
And I can't guarantee that things are going to go well with him.
No. Lazy J, let's get Lazy J in here. What's up, Lazy J?
Man, as long as wait time, huh?
No, shortest
man,
wait time.
I put a black man on the show, man. Golly.
What?
What's up, Dale?
What are you?
Hey, buddy.
I'm not your buddy. I don't know how that ties in. By the way, this isn't the show with the shortest wait times. It was a show that followed this show that no longer exists. This show was always one where
that's
it was
true.
Very long.
That's not true.
Okay. I was about to say, they're going to start blaming on the black folks, man. You got the longest wait time, man.
It is. It's,
anyways,
it started
man,
like that with Dell.
How y'all doing this morning, man?
Good morning, Lazy J.
I got you. Good, man. I just wanted to come out here and just kind of give y'all a little debate. Y'all over here talking about LeBron, how he reacted in that game. I mean, the man went for 39 minutes, 41 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 50% from the field goal, 50%
of the match.
From the three-point line. You know what I'm saying? In January, we're not talking about playoffs.
No, it was a good game.
Look.
Jordan has nine game-winning buzzer beaters. LeBron had 7. That would have been 8 because that was going in. You know what I'm saying?
Like, why did he collapse? Why did your guy collapse to the ground and start to cry? Looked like Joseph Asai had less of an emotional reaction.
Oh, but y'all don't say nothing when Tom Brady throws his tablet around or he cusses. He's so into it.
Six
oh, he
titles.
Loves the game.
Six titles.
LeBron's got 4.
Oh, he's a crybaby.
Six titles.
Crybaby, right?
Yeah.
Hey, this is
okay. You said 6 finals, right? No, wait.
Six titles.
You said 6 finals, right?
6 titles.
Every team that he lost to besides Dallas was a dynasty team. The Warriors were a dynasty team.
How did this become? I hate you for this.
I don't know how this became.
I'm talking about Lance.
We're talking about.
I already dislike Lazy J, but I hate Lance for this LeBron versus Jordan thing again. Look,
I don't know how that happened.
Because you said Jordan would never.
Oh, I said Jordan would never.
Lazy J, this is. I know this show and the guy who normally sits in this chair, this show is generally a LeBron hating show. Lance will go after him for his off the court stuff. John doesn't like him because he's not Jordan. John's a Chicago guy. I'm not a person who dislikes LeBron.
Because he won you a title.
I don't care one way or the other about him post-Heat either. I don't care. Do what you want to do. But I refuse to allow this to become a Jordan versus LeBron thing in January.
That's a June debate.
Not a January one.
Can I throw out one more stat?
Throw some more stats out.
Sure, go ahead.
By the way, okay. By the end of the week, he'll be number one in scoring. He's top 10 in steals. He's eight assists away from top 4 in assists. The only non-guard in assists that's going to be top 10. So who has the most points in the playoffs? LeBron. I'm out, man. I love the show, man.
I appreciate it. I mean, you could have saved that stuff for your Twitter handle, at LeBron better than Jordan. I mean, I'm sure that's your Twitter handle. I get it. But I appreciate the numbers. Like I said, I'm not the person who cares all that much about who's better. I know, like I said, this show normally is going to take Jordan's side.
You can play as long as you want to get all the longevity stuff. LeBron is definitely in the top 10 all time.
Top 10?
Yes.
What about top 3?
He's top 5 for sure.
Seems a little disrespectful, but
top
okay.
5 for sure.
Okay, top 10 was disrespectful.
Let's see.
Point that out.
Jordan, Olajuwon, Wilt Chamberlain.
You're putting Wilt above LeBron.
Magic, and then I'll go John Stockton.
That's a lie. You would never put John Stockton in any top whatever. You hate John Stockton.
No, LeBron's number 2 all time. I give it to you. He's number 2. Listen, if he can go 6-0 in the championship series, I'm going to give it to LeBron.
That feels like something that's already out of the realm of possibility.
Oops. It's too bad. So sad. 8 buzzer beaters versus 9 buzzer
versus
beaters.
7.
Has LeBron ever hit a home run in a minor league game? No, thank you. Has LeBron ever shook dice and lost like $270,000 one time?
Has Jordan?
And had a check up on the dead man's body. No.
Has Jordan ever made a football-centric basketball movie featuring cartoons? Oh, I guess he did do that.
Yes, he did. Both of them did.
He did it first.
He did it first.
Oh, didn't he do that first?
Yes.
Look, I if you're a LeBron stan or a Jordan stan, it doesn't really matter.
Has LeBron ever won an Oscar? No, Kobe did. and probably Jordan for Space Jam.
LeBron will win an Oscar at some point.
You think he will?
I'm sure directing or producing. Not directing, producing or something.
There's going to be a documentary
on his
school.
I'm sure he'll produce something.
I bet you Spring Hill does a documentary on the high school he opened.
I'm sure at some point he will win an
Oscar. I bet you he does, actually. I bet you he does win an Oscar for something.
Yeah. It'll just be, you know, maybe it's production company or maybe
he'll ever win a Tony. I bet he never wins a Tony.
What's that one where you win a Tony, a Grammy, and an Oscar?
ERCOT or whatever it is. Something like that.
I think he'll have to stick with
Emmy, Oscar, Tony.
And is the Grammy involved too?
EGOT.
Yeah, an EGOT.
Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Yeah, there it is.
LeBron's never winning all
four. And EGOT. He's not going to win that. And Jordan's not going to win an EGOT, I don't think.
Viola Davis?
Typically, you need to have a musical background since you're going to need to win a Tony, which is on Broadway.
Or a Grammy.
But the Grammy is going to, that's a tough one.
Yeah. You have to have a musical background. Unless you win a Grammy for being like a, don't stand-ups get like Grammys for like their albums?
Yeah.
Or comedy albums?
Actually, you're right. I think they can.
But you still have to get a Tony, though.
All right. Let me break it right now. When we come back, I think my daughter's going to tell you why I'm such a disappointment as a dad.
I could tell her right now.
713.
We don't have to wait for her. I could do that right now.
713-780-3776. Let me tell you about my friends over Maestro Dobell. I will admit that Maestro Dobell has been the culprit of some good times. Monty might not be happy that I had that, but I kept myself together during the World Series celebration. I was drinking Maestro Dobell. It was smooth. It was flavorful. It was delicious. I shared it with the friends that I had over the when we celebrated the World Series. And I got to tell you something, man. That is whether you're celebrating a special occasion or you're just having a margarita at your home. I don't care whether you're sipping or doing it in a cocktail. Maestro Dobell is going to be your tequila of choice. Once you have it, you'll recognize the great flavor profiles, whether you're choosing a Reposado, a Silver, the Cristalino, which is phenomenal, or my favorite, the Añejo and Añejo Extra. Maestro Dobell has you covered no matter what type of tequila you are loving. Wherever fine liquors are sold, you're going to find my friends at Maestro Dobell.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast Baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.